John chapter number 3, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse. I'll be all over the chapter sometime, either this morning or today, the morning and tonight. I don't know how it's going to go. I'll leave that up to the Lord. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Word of God said this. It said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Can I make a statement this morning without... I don't want to sound critical, but if that verse doesn't bless your heart, there's something wrong. I want to preach, if God will help me this morning a little while on this subject, God still loves the world. God still loves the world. Over in the book of Malachi, the Bible said, "I am the Lord. I change not." The Word of God said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And as we look into this chapter today, I want to kind of break it down as the Lord would lead and give you some things on the subject, God still loves the world. I really believe that Brother Fred, having been saved for 26 years, there have been periods of my life when I acted like I forgot that.
Yeah.
We say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, I wasn't praying like God still loved the world. I wasn't witnessing, Brother Kyle, like God still loves the world. I wasn't carrying a burden like God still loves the world. Is anybody relating to what I'm saying? Amen. And I was just thinking about some things just in the onset of the message here by way of introduction. You know, you say, "Oh, preacher, what are you going to do? Preach one of them love messages?" Sure am. The Word of God said that God is love. The Word of God said that greater love hath no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. The Word of God said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, Brother Larry, and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sin." And then the Word of God said something like this: "We love Him." How many loves Him? Because He first loved us. What a blessing it is to know that God still loves the world. Now let me just say this morning. God is so holy in His love that He still loves sinners, and yet He still hates sin. There are a lot of people, they want to magnify God's love, and they want to magnify God's grace, and they want to magnify God's mercy, and there's nothing wrong with that. In order to preach the whole counsel of God, you must magnify God's love. You must magnify God's mercy. You must magnify God's grace. But if you preach the whole counsel, you must magnify that the God of mercy and the God of love and the God of grace is also a God of judgment and a God of wrath. God hates sin. We will never, as God's people, be what we ought to be until we learn how to hate sin and love sinners all at the same time. So many times we get our wires crossed right there. And the person that's committing the iniquity or the sin, we end up hating them. That's never of God. Amen? For God still loves the world. I want to give you some things this morning. I have three major thoughts on my heart out of this chapter. And let's just start plowing. We'll drop the plow and see where God wants us to go this morning. Look in verse number 1 with me, please, in chapter number 3. Thank you for praying this morning. I sense a liberty this morning now that I haven't sensed. Amen. This morning I went to bed last night burdened. I got up burdened. I went to the prayer room burdened. I came out of the prayer room burdened. I went back to my office burdened. But I think it's going to be all right now. If you would understand that there's a day coming when your pastor is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for every time I stand in this pulpit. It would help you to pray for me, amen? I mean, I don't mean this to be smart looky like, but I could take the Bible and preach from about anywhere, but I want to know where God wants me to preach from. And when God wants me to preach from that passage. I've been in John chapter 3 since Thursday, and just now, I guess this morning, I kind of organized things for me a little bit and let me see how he was trying to lead me all along. First thing I want to say in the message this morning, chapter number 1 here, chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's evident to me in reading this passage of Scripture right here that Nicodemus has both heard and or seen the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems to me like that if I was a religious man like that Nicodemus was, it seems to me like if I went to my meetings and meeting after meeting in the synagogue and service after service in the synagogue and not much was happening, that if I got around a man called Jesus and everywhere he went, the Bible said he went about doing good. The lame were healed. The blind would see. Amen. And the deaf could hear. And the dead were raised. If I got around all of that, Brother Joe, it seemed to me like it might cause me to understanding that I'm lacking something, that my religion is not enough to get the job done. Amen? And I believe in the life of Nicodemus, that's exactly what happened. He saw the Lord. He saw His miracles. He heard about His miracles. And you say, preacher, what's the point? Here it is. God still loves the world. That's the title of the message. But God's love can still change the religious man. Amen? It can still change the religious man. By the way, I want you to notice something here. Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, I don't have time to fool with you. Amen? I mean, Jesus was a very busy man. How many say amen right there? He had to get up in order to spend time with His Father a great while before day and go off into a mountain apart to pray. He was a very busy man. As a matter of fact, there's an argument as to why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? Was it because Jesus was so busy in the day? Was it because Nicodemus didn't want to be seen with Jesus? You can argue all that stuff all you want to. Amen. All I know is there's a religious man come to a place in his life where he realized there was something missing down inside of him. And he realized who the one was that had what was missing. That was Jesus. And He came to him. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? This kind of speaks really, 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 really to my heart because I was a religious man 6.5 years before I was a saved man. There's a difference between religion and relationship. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me give you some things here in the Bible. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see now, Brother Joe, why the Lord had you to speak up and say, one won't do. One birth won't do. It takes two. Amen? It takes two. If you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, hallelujah, you'll never die. You say, now, preacher, I'm going to die. No, the Bible said, Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. All we're going to do is change tents one day after a while, Brother Ron. Amen. We're going to give up a temporal tent and move into an eternal tent. Amen. Thank the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you see in the passage? Let me give you some things quickly. Number one, I see a confrontation. In other words, you say, well, preacher, I thought you said that no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I didn't say that. As a matter of fact, Jesus did. Amen. And I believe that. How many believes that? So you say, preacher, it says here that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Can I tell you something right now? I believe the Spirit of God went where Nicodemus was before Nicodemus ever went where Jesus was. And I believe he fingered around his heart and stared in his heart and helped him to know. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that when Jesus comes, there'll not be one person in the Bible Way Baptist Church religious but lost. Not one. You see, the preacher got to talking last week about praying, and he said that somebody said, God's not deaf. Why y'all praying so loud? He said something about, well, I didn't understand anything you were saying. The preacher said, we wasn't talking to you. You know what I say when people tell me God's not deaf? I say, you're right, and he's not nervous either. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if worship makes you nervous, there might be something lacking down inside of you. Amen. Everybody don't worship the same. Everybody don't weep. Everybody don't shout. But I tell you what, if you've got the Savior living inside of you, you're not going to mind if others worship around you. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. We see a confrontation. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He come face to face with Jesus. Can I tell you something? Everybody that's ever been saved came face to face with Jesus. Jesus confronted you. He came to where you are. He said, oh, preacher, I came to where he was. He came first. That's why the Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The only time the Lord can be found is when he's seeking you. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. It's being preached today. It's being taught today that it's just a decision. I'll tell you, there's a decision involved in salvation, but there's something else. It's called conviction. It's involved in salvation. Amen. It's called conversion that's involved in salvation. It's called compassion. God still loves the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Whenever the Holy Spirit pulls the covers off of your life. You know what I mean? He just pulls the covers off. That's what he did with the woman at the well. She said to the man, come see, a man told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? In other words, he didn't really tell her everything, but he told her enough that she knew that he knew all about her. Amen. How many remembers that day in your life when you knew he knew all about it? Now the amazing thing is, Brother Preston, that he pulls the covers off. And it stands there. We're in our mess. We're in our sin. We're naked before him. And it's still, Brother Andy, willing to stand right there and look at you with eyes of love and compassion and say, I love you. If you'll just come to me, I'll put some clothes on you. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll give you a purpose to live. I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. God still loves the religious man. God's love can change the religious man. You go on down through here, not only is there a confrontation, the miracles. You say, preacher, what about the miracles? You remember the Bible teaches this, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. How many remembers when he took the clothes off of you, made you ashamed, amen? But listen, he's been good to you in your life, and that goodness didn't cause you to want to run from him, it caused you to want to run to him. You realize for the first time who it is that's been clothing you. Who it is that's been feeding you. The Bible said of Nebuchadnezzar, said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, hast thou not glorified? He's the one that's even let us, Brother Wayne, breathe. Amen. Just get a breath of air. He's the one. The Bible said, by Him we live, in Him we live and move and have our being. Nicodemus realized in this confrontation that he was missing something. He was missing something. God's love can still change the religious. He can go from an empty religion to a full relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A religion that's empty to a relationship that's full. What a blessing it is to trade out. Amen. Now watch the communication. And Jesus, not only you see a confrontation, but there's a communication of the Word of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is really not part of the message this morning, but if you read that verse, drop on down, I think it's verse number 9. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, even after Jesus, 3 or 4 verses, explained the new birth, he said, how can these things be? Let me tell you something about religion. It won't do anything but confuse you. You'll be standing there scratching your head, amen. You say, well, I'm trying to figure God out. Let me tell you something. He's a whole lot bigger than that. Amen. You'll never figure Him out. I'll never figure Him out. That's why the Bible said we must come as a little child in childlike faith. We must trust Him to be our Savior. The Word of God is teaching us here about this communication that God has. The Bible said for you and I to preach the Word. The Bible said to be instant in season, out of season. The Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You remember when Philip and the eunuch were there in the desert. You remember that? The Word of God said that the Spirit of God sent Philip into the desert. Why? Because the Spirit of God was working in a man's heart out there in the desert. And the Bible said he went and he joined himself to the chariot. He climbed up there and he said, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou reading? He said, how can I except some man guide me? He had religion! He had been to Jerusalem to worship! But he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. The Word of God said that Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Never mentioned Muhammad. Say, preacher, surely you're not so narrow-minded as to think there's only one way to heaven. Guilty. Surely I am. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I preached that in prisons for years. And I told them the day that I cannot preach the truth is the day I will not be back. God calls men to preach the truth. Here's the communication. Jesus is saying, you must be born again. Paul is one that said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every man in this building that God has called to preach, that ought to be a verse that we take to heart. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me. God help me if I'm not sharing the gospel with others. Amen. I see a confrontation. I see a communication. You say, preacher, what happened here? Well, number one, Jesus proclaimed the truth. And I like that, don't you? He said, except the man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born of the water, into the Spirit. You can, unless you do, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Somebody asked an old preacher one time, said, how come you all the time preaching on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. I'll tell you right now, folk, I fear for this generation. We Religion without relationship. That's what they want. They want Christ without change, Brother Sam. The Bible teaches no such thing. I've been saying for years, and I still believe it's true, if you don't want a change in your life, you don't want Jesus. He'll change your life. Amen. If you like your life the way it is, then you hang on to your life the way it is. But if you want a change, if you want forgiveness, if you want to experience God's mercy and God's grace, then let Him communicate to you the Word of God through the Spirit. Let Him help you to understand that God still loves you. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are children of the living God in this room that need what I'm preaching today. That old devil will back you up in the corner. He'll try to make you believe everybody's against you. Nobody loves you. He's a liar! God still loves His children. He's a children. Thank the Lord. Jesus proclaimed the truth. But let me give you this morning. Jesus didn't just proclaim the truth. Brother Joe, He explained it. He explained it to Nicodemus. You see, Pharisees were rulers of the Jews. They were intelligent people, brother. The Bible didn't say no wise men are called. It just said not many. Not many are called. But Nicodemus got him a call from the Lord. Say amen. And guess what? I read on over there in the book of John, Nicodemus answered that call. Amen. He ain't coming along interested in the body of Christ if he ain't answered that call. Amen. I believe Nicodemus will meet him in heaven. I believe that with all of my heart. Why in the world would he be interested in serving the Lord if he didn't know the Lord? Amen. Let me say this to you this morning. He explained the truth. I'll use this flagpole. Jesus knew, Brother Gale, that Nicodemus was very familiar with that Old Testament. They memorized it. That's exactly right. They were required to. They sewed it up in their phylacteries and in their garments. So Jesus wanted to use, Brother Ralph, something familiar. Something that Nicodemus could relate to. That's how much he loved him. He didn't want to leave him hanging, so to speak. He wanted him to get this thing nailed down. And so what he said in verse number 14, I believe it was there. He said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You remember the story, if you go over there in the Old Testament, the Bible said that there were serpents that were biting the people, and they were dying. Right? And God told Moses, He said, "I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to put it up on a pole." And He said, "I want you to lift it up in the camp." How many wants to pray for your pastor? Here's a prayer I want you to pray for me. Pray for me that I'll always lift him up in the camp. Amen. That I'll always lift Jesus up. Because He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He wasn't talking about being lifted up in the preaching. He was talking about directly being lifted up on a cross. He spoke of the death that he was signifying that death. But thank God we can still lift him up in this generation. And so he explained the truth, Brother Joe. He said, just like it was back there, he said, "Nicodemus, you've been bitten, honey. You've been bitten by sin. And just like Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's teaching the truth. That back there in the Old Testament, the people that were bitten, all they had to do, Brother Kyle, was look. All you had to do was look and you would live, Brother Mike. Look and live.
And yet we've got a generation of people, and sometimes preachers are guilty of it. They're trying to make something that God made simple, complicated. The Word of God said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He's explaining the truth. He's saying, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Everyone else in this building that's been born again, look to the same one. Brother Houston, we look to the one that was hung on the same cross. Every one of us found salvation and redemption and mercy and grace and forgiveness at Calvary. There's not two or three resources. It's only one. This morning, I believe this is what the Lord is saying. If you're here and you're going through the motions, let me just say this. Some people ain't even going through the motions too good. You're going through the motions, and yet down inside, Brother Gale, I can remember sitting in church for 6.5 years. I can remember hearing people testify. I can remember that longing down in my heart.
Amen.
I wish I could say that of a surety. I wish I had what that man's got. I wish I had what that woman's got. Well, guess what? I found it at Calvary. I found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people, all they have is what they've heard. That's all they can go on because they don't know anything for sure. Zach, would you put this back up there for me? I'm too busy preaching. I'm about to come to a close this morning. I believe God's wanting to wind her down right here. Brother Ron, I told a story years ago, and there was a man in my church, Hurricane Baptist Church. If you're from over there, they say hurricane. They don't say hurricane, but I thought H-U-R-R-I-C-A-N-E spelled hurricane. Amen. But with an E on the end of it, it don't look like a can to me. It looks like a cane. Amen. But anyway, I'm feeling it right, ain't it, Brother Gary? Amen. And there was a man in my church over there named Ron Bothus. I was coming down to the end of a sermon one day, and I don't know what made me do it. I didn't plan on doing it, but I just give an old stupid illustration. I thought it was dumb. I really did. And here was the illustration. There was a man in my church. His name was Wayne. And Wayne was a big bass fisherman. I went to Brother Wayne's house. His wife's name was Linda. And Colin, there over the mantle, he had not one, not two, but three largemouth bass that weighed anywhere from 10 to 12 pound. Biggins. That was without putting lead balls in them too. Say amen. And Brother Wayne would tell me, he got down there on them, they call them lakes in Florida. And he'd tell me about putting that shiner and how he put it on the hook. And he'd tell me how that he'd feel that bass hit that shiner. But he said, when I did, I just keep feeding him line. He said, because I wanted him to swallow that thing plumb to China. Amen.
Yeah.
And when he got that thing swallowed real good, he'd set that hook in that thing. He'd tell me about reeling that thing in. But I'm going to be honest with you, Kyle. It didn't do much for me. You want to know why? I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I wasn't the one, Brother Arnold, that was getting to do the reeling. Amen. I wasn't the one that was going to have it on my mantle. Amen. I wasn't there. And then I would tell Brother Wayne about turkey hunting. He didn't even turkey hunt when I met him. God help a man don't turkey hunt. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, that's fun. Amen. But you said, what is turkey hunting? I'll tell you what it is. It's sitting at the base of a tree, a grown man sitting at the base of a tree, trying to sound like a girl so he can kill a male turkey. That's what it is. Amen. Trying to sound like a girl turkey. Amen. Ain't that awful? It's awful good when you get it in the pan. I'll tell you that right now. I tell Brother Wayne, I remember calling a turkey. I just started using a diaphragm call. And my buddy's daddy was making fun of me. I was downstairs and he said, "Steve," he said, "did that pup get in the house?" He was making fun of me. He said, "I sound like a pup, you know, a dog whining on that collar." Well, Steve's daddy didn't kill the turkey that morning. Steve didn't kill the turkey that morning. That turkey must have liked that pup. And if I never moved from where I'm standing, that turkey was about from me to Brother Johnny when I pulled the trigger. I can still remember it like it's yesterday. I was sitting down between two rocks. You know, I tell Brother Wayne my story, Brother Joe, and it just didn't seem to do nothing for him. You want to know why? He wasn't there. I told that story one day. About a week later, my phone rung, and I didn't answer the phone. My wife did. And my wife said, "Hello," and she said, "This is Brother Ron. Is the preacher around?" My wife said, "No. Can I take a message?" He said, "No," and he hung up. He was under something we call Holy Ghost conviction. I told that story, and then I said this. I said, "I'll tell you the reason some of you never say anything about Jesus. You wasn't there. Ain't nothing ever happened." It was a Wednesday night. I can remember it like it was yesterday. We were meeting in the house of God. We were going to have prayer, and we were going to read the Bible, and we were going to the funeral home. We had a death in our church. We didn't cancel the service altogether. We were just going to have a very brief meeting, just have prayer. And of course, in that church, we took up offering on Wednesday night too. So there was two men that took up offering in that church, but one was always the same man. That was the treasurer, Brother Ron. And I said, "Brother Ron," I said, "you guys come on, we'll take up the offering, and then we'll read the Bible." Brother Ron hit the center aisle like this right here. He said, "Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Wait a minute." He'd come down to the front. I said, "What is it, brother?" He said, "I've never been born again." I tell you what, every church ought to have a saved treasurer. Say amen. He said, "I've never been born again, Brother Rick. I need to be saved." I said, "Brother Ron, you've been around long enough to know what's needed." He hit that altar and he called on God, and God saved him. I asked him later, I said, "Brother Ron, why?" Listen to this. Listen carefully. I said, "Why right then? Why right at that moment?" He said, "Preacher," he said, "I knew that you would call on me to pray over that offering." And he said, "I knew I'd said my last prayer as a lost man. I couldn't do it anymore. Amen. I had to get saved." You said, "Preacher, you trying to confuse me?" Nope. If you've got Jesus down inside of you, I ain't bothering you one bit. Say amen right there. But I tell you, if you're going through the motions and you're empty and you know you've never been to Calvary, you know your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know if you die today, you're in trouble with God. Because all you have is religion. You don't have a relationship. You see, how many of you all been around me and Miss Eve to know we have a relationship? She's my wifey. I love her. So, do you think I'm going to wait till next Sunday, Brother Gale, to talk to her?
I hope not, too.
In other words, we have a relationship. You think I'm going to wait till next Sunday to let her talk to me?
I hope not.
There's people who can lay that Bible in the window of the car, lay it on the coffee table. Go all week, sometimes months, and never pray to the God of heaven. I'm fearful. Never hear Brother Grizzle from the God of heaven. Never open that book and let Him speak to our heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe with all my heart, a relationship is needed. Where you don't have to run from Him. You can to Him. Even when we fail Him. Thank God. You say, "You mean He loves you when you fail?" Oh, He always loves me. He ain't never quit loving me. I'm going to tell you something right now. He loves you. God still loves the world. Now, I've just preached one point in the message. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I'm done this morning. I believe that with all my heart. We're going to go on past verse 16 tonight and look at a different group of people. And then we're going to go on past verse 22 and look at another group of people. But God wanted me to tell you this morning, God still loves the world. And God still changes religious folk. He's still saving to the uttermost those who will believe. He said, preacher, there's got to be more, something more to it than just looking unto Jesus. Well, you'll just have to take that up with the Word of God. I will say this. You might say, well, preacher, you didn't say anything about repentance. Let me just go ahead and tell you this. You can't look to Jesus without repentance. And let me just go ahead and tell you this. You can't repent without looking to Jesus. They go hand in hand. I did say a while ago, if a man's never gotten tired of his sin, he's never come to Jesus. Amen. How many believes that God still loves the world? You got any lost neighbors, Brother Ron? He still loves them. You youngins know anybody at school that's lost? God still loves them. You folk work with anybody that's lost? God still loves them. Have you got somebody in your family that's lost? God still loves them. And if God still loves them, looks to me like you and I should. And we should not love them in word and in deed, but in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We shouldn't be looking at a man that's hungry and say, be you warmed and filled. No, we ought to be trying to get him a can of soup. Amen. Doing something to help him. There's a lost world out there. God help us to reach them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I know this morning that I've minded the Lord. I know that. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want to know this morning how many of you with Judgment Day honesty, you're in this room right now and you say, preacher, there's not a doubt in my mind. I have a relationship with Jesus. I have been born again. I die. It's okay, preacher. Heaven will be my home. How many of you know that of a surety? Would you slip your hand up if you know that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here's my question. Who's here today and say, preacher, I just put my hand up and I know I'm saved. But I sure ain't been living like God still loves the world. I've just been kind of doing my own thing, going my own way, running right by people every day. And preacher, I need the Lord to help me that this truth might sink in, that I might share His love with others. You say, preacher, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a saved individual. But I need to let this love flow through me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. God is breaking hearts. Our hearts ought to be broken if we're not sharing the love of God. Who's here today? Say, preacher, I know the language. I know when to say what. I know what to say when. And preacher, I've had something on my lips that I've never had in my heart. Preacher, I'm just like Nicodemus. I know how to go through the motions. But preacher, down in my heart, I'm empty. I need something more than just a form of godliness, more than just religion. I need a relationship with Jesus. Preacher, I need to be born again. Who's here today would slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Please pray for me. God bless you, sweetheart. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there another would say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm in trouble if I leave this world today, preacher. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Pray for me. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Young lady, just you, honey, that raised your hand. Do you understand that we're all sinners? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus died for us? That He rose again? Do you believe that? Is the Lord dealing with your heart right now about it and knocking at your heart? Miss Eve, I want you to come up here. Honey, if you would like to trust Jesus, that's up to you. But if you'd like to trust Him today, my wife is coming and she'll meet you right here and show you how you can do that. Okay, honey? How you can trust the Lord. But it's up to you. If you want to come, I've asked my wife to come. You say, preacher, would one be worth it all? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. One would be worth it all. Not today, honey. That's okay. I respect that, and so does the Lord. I respect that, sweetheart. I mean that. Jesus knocks. But He'll never knock the door down in our life. If you change your mind after church, honey, you let us know, okay? I mean that. I'll tell you something right now. Jesus don't have anything to shove down anybody's throat. But I tell you what, we sure do know when He's squeezing our hearts, don't we? Father in heaven, I thank You this morning. Lord, this young lady is a young lady that I prayed for last week. And Lord, the major reason that I prayed for her is that her picture's on that little prayer card. God, would You help us to be faithful to these young people? God, would You just continue to be faithful to squeeze on her little heart? And Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You didn't cut me off. You could have. But God, You just kept on stirring in my heart and in my life. Thank You, Lord, that You're long-suffering. God, I pray for this young lady. I pray, Lord, I believe with all of my heart. There are others. They're sitting there this morning and they know they're just as empty as they can be. Yet that pride's got them. They don't want to admit that. Lord, none of us ever got any help till our pride went out the door. And we humbled ourselves. Nicodemus, Lord, that ruler of the Jews, he had to humble himself to come to Jesus that night. Lord, what he heard at first, he didn't understand. But Lord, it's evident that somewhere along the way, that seed that was planted in his heart that night sprang up into everlasting life. God, how I pray, take the message. Use it for Thy glory.